talks into this whole podcast, which is, why don't we just all buy Bitcoin, which we all did, and keep our mouths shut?
Hello, and welcome to Bitcoin and the Bible, a show for Christians who love God's word, care about sound money, and want to learn about the moral case for Bitcoin. Join us as we hold fast to God's word and hodl Bitcoin together. Thanks for joining us for today's show. My name is Simon, and I am your host for today's edition of Bitcoin and the Bible. I am joined by my friends, Will and David. And we would love to interact with you through the show today, but obviously we'll have some connections for you in our show notes to our social media profiles afterwards. And we trust that the interaction today, the discussion today is a blessing to you as we apply our biblical worldview to Bitcoin and sound money. And I'd just like to begin by sharing a verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which says, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And our episode today will focus on the ideological foundations for this podcast. In other words, why do we need to reconcile our biblical worldview and Bitcoin? And so today, we're going to introduce four questions that we plan to examine in greater detail in our future episodes together. And introducing them together in brief will give us the ability to establish the foundation for the future discussion, as well as introduce you to our ongoing process of applying our commitment to Christ and His church by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So the four questions that we are going to discuss today are, why should Christians pursue Bitcoin as a monetary system and store of value? And I really want to center in on that verb, pursue Bitcoin, because I believe that Bitcoin is a pursuit. I've been involved with it for a year now, and I'm still learning, and I know that my friends here are as well. So we want you to consider, why should you pursue Bitcoin as a monetary system and a store of value? The second question we're going to look at today is, are the principles of sound money something you can find in Scripture? We love sound money. I hope you do too. And we really want to focus in on God's word and say, do the principles of sound money come from Scripture? Can they be derived there? Can they be applied there? Can we understand God's purposes for sound money in God's word? The third question we're going to look at is, how should Christians apply wisdom in living in our current fiat-based economic system? We all look at the world around us and we understand that it's not the way God intended it. And further, we understand that fiat has a lot to do with that. So by necessity, we need to take the opportunity to take God's wisdom and apply it to our personal lives as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as members of churches, members of Christian organizations, employers, employees. Every one of us has the opportunity to take that wisdom and apply it today. And the final question that we have is, what does it actually look like for a Christian to transition to using Bitcoin? And we want to get personal with you. We want to help you walk through our shoes and understand how we had to admit that we were wrong. We didn't have the best monetary system and we changed to it. So we're going to go through those four questions today. But before we begin, we want to review some first principles that undergird this entire podcast. Number one, we are servants of God and we engage in this initiative for His glory and not our own. That's key. We want to reflect the glory of God in everything that we do, but specifically through this podcast. Number two, we are passionate about Bitcoin. I hope you understand that. And I guarantee you, after you listen to us for a couple of episodes, you'll understand that there is some serious passion in this room. We're passionate about both Bitcoin and sound money, but I would venture to say our highest passion is in seeing sinners believe the gospel message. And no matter whether or not you believe in Bitcoin, you need to believe in Jesus Christ, as He is your only hope. Number three, we believe that God commands all believers to apply God's word to their lives, individually and collectively. However, we want to encourage all believers to do so in the context of a local church body and under submission to their church's elders. We are not your elders, and we do not intend to replace their purpose, God's purpose for them in your life. Fourth, we are fallible men. I am a fallible man who has made errors before and will make them again in the future. We have had to change our minds when confronted with the truth. As such, we entrust our opinions in this realm to the biblical process of iron sharpening iron. And our hope is that by a courageous examination of absolute truth, of which no man can claim an exclusive corner, we will help you understand that God alone is truth, and that He intends that we pursue it and pursue Him and exhort others to do the same. Thus, as we begin here, let me turn to my friend Will, and I'm going to ask him the first question that I brought to your attention in the episode here, which is, why should Christians in particular pursue Bitcoin as a monetary system and store of value?
Thanks, Simon. That's a great question, and one that I think is something that we're going to continue to circle back to time and time again. At a high level, Christians need to step back and think, what is money? How do we have money? Is it something that just happened? What defines money? Does God care about it? Is that something that Christians really need to take any time to think about? And does what God say and does God's character predispose Christians to preferring some forms of money over others? Or does any of that actually matter? The answer is yes. Christians should pursue Bitcoin as their monetary system and store of value. Bitcoin is the monetary system that best reflects some of the attributes of God and His revealed nature towards men. It respects human time, it respects the value of human life. It prevents theft from central control through the incentive structure that has been designed into it. It precludes fallen men from stealing wealth from others through the effects of money printing and debasement, the Cantillon effect, that those who are closer to the money printer are benefit disproportionately. Christians need to view the world rationally. It is easy, I think, for Christians to look and say, well, economics, that's a secular pursuit. It's kind of a scientific, academic thing. I don't really see a lot of academics in scripture. It's a faith thing. I have my faith. I go to church on Sunday and I sing songs and I listen to the sermon and I do that. And then during the week, I may do some academic things, or maybe I don't try to think at all, and to recognize that throughout scripture, God's truth applies universally to everything that we do. There is no secular sacred divide. God's truth and His character should speak to all that we do. And so, yes, Christians need to think carefully about these things. And so I hope that we can provide some answers and stimulate some thought-provoking questions for you as you work through these things with us.
Yeah, Will, that's great. I share your opinions there, and I look forward to hearing what you have for us in the future as to why God brought that upon your heart, how He's changed your outlook on money, and how that's now bearing fruit in your life as well. So thanks for sharing that. I'll turn to you now, David. Can you give our listeners a little bit of your perspective on the second question that we brought up at the beginning of the episode? So the second question being, are the principles of sound money something that you can find in God's word, our scriptures?
Thanks, Simon. Yeah, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, be diligent, or some translations, to study, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. In other words, the understanding of Scripture requires a significant investment of our time, of our mental energy, of our spiritual energy, to discern the mind and will of God. And I believe God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ, but we know Jesus Christ through His word, and the will of God is revealed there for us in His word. And so to say that a profound area of our lives, which is what economics really is, it touches us every day of our lives from the beginning to the end, to say that God doesn't care about, that He has no thoughts on, or if He does have thoughts, He doesn't want to disclose them to us, I think would be a very truncated and foolish way to think about our relationship with God, and certainly to think about the Scriptures. So I think we do need to be diligent. We need to work hard at this. And it may not be simple, because this is not the most important thing. The most important thing is, do you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand what He has done for you when He came and died in your place? So clearly the scripture concerns itself primarily with that eternal truth, because as Jesus said, what is it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So you could have an economic system that reflects the mind of God and still end up in hell. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Bitcoiners may fall prey to that very trap. So yes, the scriptures speak about how do we know Christ, how do we live in light of the knowledge of Christ, and so forth. And we need to constantly be reminded of that. But they don't end there. That's not all they talk about. So, for example, and just a couple things. I'm reminded of the book of Proverbs, right? So in the book of Proverbs, we have Solomon's reflections upon how one lives in God's economy. So it's written to those living under the Mosaic covenant, to be sure, but it reveals something of the mind of God for us there. And there in Proverbs 16 and verse 11, it says, "A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern." So just to think about that. It says that a just balance and scales, in other words, the means of commerce belong to the Lord. He is concerned about these. He cares about these things. And that's obvious when you read the prophets, because over and over, the prophets indict Israel for making merchandise of the poor, right? So of, you know, Amos, I'm reminded of Amos in Amos chapter 8 and verse 5 and what he says there about how they take advantage by adjusting the balance, the scales, the weights, the means of commerce to their advantage in order to take advantage of those who are most susceptible. So just thinking about that and is that God is very concerned about this aspect of human existence. And if he's concerned about it, we need to be concerned about it too. So knowing he's concerned about it, then clearly he must reveal to us his mind in these matters that we have to know and we have to understand. And so, you know, I go back to the very beginning of Genesis and yeah, I'm a hard money guy. I came to that conviction over a period of time, trained in the Keynesian economics for my early college days, but just thinking on the scriptures and in Genesis 2, where Moses is talking about the Garden of Eden and he's locating it with landmarks that were known at least to his audience of the day, and he talks about the land of Havilah where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, the Bible says. And so we see from the beginning that gold was something not only just valued by people, but God himself, in his own word, says that, hey, you know, this is a time before the flood. This is when the earth is pristine. This is the way I've made it, and I've made this place where there's this really excellent gold. Is it there just for ornamental purposes? I don't think so. I think it's there because why? Well, because at the time it represented the best possible money available for commerce, right? And we know the aspects of gold, the fact that it's rare and unfalsifiable, that it on the periodical table it's like the element that best can fill all of the essential aspects of money. So God put that there for his people, for his world, in order that they might be able to engage in commerce. And through commerce, they might grow in prosperity. And like a father would for his child, God wants to see the human race prosper. He wants to see us gain value for our work, as it were. So, I think there's a lot there. He put Adam in the garden to tend the garden. By virtue of that, pre-fall, we have God's imperator on work, that it's a good thing. You read ahead of the prophecies of the coming kingdom, and we'll work there in the kingdom again. So work is not a consequence of the fall. Work is God's original plan for us. Commerce is a natural outgrowth of work. It's the ability to exchange labor with one another, and money gives you the ability to store that labor for future use. So, I mean, all of these things very much wrapped up, I believe, in what God would have for not just the believer, but for all of humanity.
Yeah, I think you hit upon some really key points there. And I'm so excited to be able to spend more time with you with our Bibles open, looking at some of these passages and drawing this out, because this is a common question that I know all three of us encounter when we're talking to fellow believers. Is this biblical? Is this something you can find in God's word? Because I think that's a great segue for us to think about the reality that we are driven by our passion to see God's word proclaimed, obeyed, and used. And I think all of us share that passion because we've been transformed by God's word spiritually. Our hearts have been changed. And by virtue of your heart being changed, God begins the long, slow process of changing your mind, of renewing your mind and bringing truth to bear in every aspect of society. So going to verses like the ones you pointed out in Proverbs and Genesis and turning over those words and understanding what they meant in their original context to the original hearers, and then saying, now, how do I apply it to my world today, is the heart of this podcast.
Indeed. Yeah, I was just further reflecting on all of that. God calls the false balance, the deceptive weights, we can just generalize that into commerce generally, the deceptive use of commerce to take advantage of someone in the Proverbs is called an abomination. And that's a strong term, right? That's something that is not reserved for every run-of-the-mill sin, as it were. It's kind of a special class of sins. And if you begin to study it, it has to do with perversity and lying and deception and misrepresentation and things that are just so contrary to the character of God. And I think that's something that just has really become more and more impressed upon me. I mean, just feeling it deeper and deeper is the reality that this present economic system, the way it's been constructed, is a perversity, is an abomination. It is designed to take advantage of those that are least able to care for themselves, and it is contrary to the character of God. And so, in His eyes, it's an abomination. And honestly, I think it needs to be in ours too.
That really segues really nicely into our third point, which I would love to just have both of you address. I think all of us look at the world around us and we see an abomination. We see perversity, we see dishonesty, we see unjust scales and measures that are reflected from nations down to individuals. And as we see the power that money has to corrupt morals, to corrupt ethical systems, to corrupt work itself. So I look at that from a negative perspective. God doesn't tell us to fear anything other than Him, but He tells us to be sober-minded and to be on guard for ourselves and our families. But on the other hand, I think Bitcoin has also given me the opportunity to see this from a positive perspective and say, what is God doing and how is what He is doing consistent with His providential sovereign plan to bring about His absolute will through His people? And how can we take advantage of the positive aspects of what Bitcoin provides to reform within our limited scope, but to reform aspects of our society that are in desperate need of reformation? So let me turn the following question to you. As you live today in our fiat-based world, our the stain that fiat has kind of put into our current economic and political and just environmental system, how do you think Christians can take the wisdom of God's word, specifically about money, and start applying it and living it out today? Will, I'll put that question to you first.
Sure. I think, David, going back to something that you were just commenting on about how dishonest weights and measures are an abomination to the Lord, if that is true, then I think the common advice that Christians give one another, which is to understand stocks and equities and make sure that your money is parked in something that's going to be favorably treated by the money printer, own a home, lever up, become a levered real estate investor, and profit off of this system, that just doesn't cut it. You're not doing anything that reflects God's morality. All you've done is you've observed that the scales are unbalanced and figured out how you can profit from it. And I think if we truly and rightly understand the heart of God in caring and loving our neighbor, we won't stand for that. What can we do to right those scales, to bring balance? So what can we do in this fiat world? We can opt out. We can say, you know what? I'm not going to play your games. I'm not going to be content with merely getting rich, right? I understand the fiat game. I can lever up on stocks, and I know that the tech stocks are going to moon because the Fed is going to print 20% more money next year, and it's all going to flood into the S&P. I can lever up on the real estate market. But who am I hurting when I do that? I'm hurting those that can't afford equities. So how can I live in this world? I can say, you know what? I want no part of that system. I'm going to move my life force stored in money, and I'm going to park it in something that respects the time and labor of everyone. And I will love my neighbor through my stored value. When I park my life savings in Bitcoin, a rising tide lifts all boats. Whether the widow has her mite of three sats in Bitcoin, or a rich man with 100,000 Bitcoin, everyone is benefiting when they're part of a system that respects that time. So if I move into Bitcoin, I've lifted all ships. Everyone is benefiting from that, regardless of how much or how little they have.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting, maybe side question that comes from that is, and I think reflects into this whole podcast, which is, why don't we just all buy Bitcoin, which we all did, and keep our mouths shut and let the system crash, and we end up, looking pretty good on the other side. There is a moral aspect to money. Money is not neutral. It does reveal one's heart. So yeah, I think once you understand the fiat system and how it's designed, and the fact that it takes advantage of those that are most helpless, I think it's hard to continue to play in that system and sleep well at night. I think you're compelled to try to do something about that. And so, yeah, this podcast, why are we doing this, right? To try to help others and come along together in a journey. Welcome the input as well as we try to wrestle these things through. We're not here to get rich. That's not our motive. Our motive is to try to share what we're learning in the scriptures and help others see it as well. And yes, I think that we need to withdraw our consent from a system that is fundamentally corrupt and to which God is diametrically opposed.
I agree. And to draw that out one step further, I think you both make the excellent case for understanding your world well enough to then live in it rightly. And I think that aspect of education is critical. I know that all three of us have been in a multitude of really good conversations over the past couple of years with believers. And those conversations are sometimes with men, sometimes with women, husbands, wives together. Sometimes it's with children or youth coming into the age where they start to save their own money and start to think about what is a stock and what is a bond and what does the Federal Reserve do? What is a treasury bill? And many of those questions I didn't have solid answers for, if you rewind just even a year to 3 years ago. And I think it's important for us as men to start with the reality that we need to be able to answer those questions for ourselves, for our wives, for our children, for our grandchildren, and for our neighbors. And that engaging in conversation, especially in a Christian context, can be hard because money can often be associated with being a very dirty, non-biblical kind of topic that you kind of just, you'll leave to the conversations that you're not having when you're having with believers. But I think we need to embrace the opportunity to say, there are a lot of husbands out there, a lot of wives out there who are trying to decide what to do with their money, whether it's a 401k or they just have money happen to be sitting in a savings account, or maybe they invested in gold or silver, or maybe they're just trying to figure out with, can I save, period, in a world where it seems like my savings account is a leaky bucket, just losing money, and as I just put it in every single paycheck. And I think we all looked at each other this year and said, hey, the bucket is leaking. What do we do? And I think that Bitcoin is the answer for right now to provide us an opportunity, and therefore to provide you an opportunity to say, what can you do tomorrow? You can start by buying a little bit of Bitcoin and you can go from there. But that buying process initiates an education process, and the training of your mind is really what's going to change you, not just buying some Bitcoin.
Right. I mean, Bitcoin is going to change the way you look at the world, right? Because we've all been conditioned in an economic system where we're like fish swimming in the ocean. We are completely surrounded by water, but we don't even know we're wet. We've been conditioned by a system based on consumption, driven by continual debasement of money, which is a place one stores their labor, and so in effect, their life force, right? And so the church rails against consumerism. The church, when it teaches on money, you know, one of the more popular teachers on money, right? It's get out of debt. And being out of debt, I agree. That's a good, definite thing to drive towards. But there's never they don't get far enough back. They don't get back to first principles. But if we are in a true monetary system and yay, a deflationary monetary system, all of a sudden conspicuous consumption doesn't make sense anymore. For years, you know, we've talked about like landfill problems and you know, yeah, I'm a boomer. I'm an old guy. So I can remember when you take your TV in and get it fixed, you know, and we fill landfills full of this junk that is absolutely designed to fall apart, right? Along with the money system. So you buy more junk and you just continually, we fill our garages and our storage center buildings. And I mean, like none of this stuff existed when I was a kid. These are all the fruits of a corrupt system that honestly Bitcoin fixes.
Churches, they're very hesitant to talk about money. So that a lot of believers don't understand. Churches are often content with, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's really dangerous. Give it all to us. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, you go work your 8 to 5 in the dirty side of the world and then bring it in, put it in the offering plate, and we'll cleanse it for you.
And that's just not good enough.
It's not. It's not.
Yeah. So many good questions there. I am trying to restrain myself from asking them all because I know that we have a lot of fun episodes in our future where we can ask fun questions like, should churches own Bitcoin?
Yes.
Should we donate to our missionaries in Bitcoin?
Yes.
but as we close today, I just want to give a brief opportunity for each of us to share a little bit about our own personal journey to Bitcoin. And the point of this is not for us to give our life stories, but to give a little bit of personal perspective for those of you who are thinking about this and saying, should I do this? And I'll begin and just share that I'm a guy in his 40s who has 5 kids and married. And for me, I had lived and worked in a successful medical device job for 18 years. And having lived in that job for 18 years, I had a chance to accumulate a fair amount of what the world had provided for me in the terms of monetary security. But ultimately, what I needed to do was to learn and to be convinced that I was wrong. And thank you, Will, for being that person in my life to provide that iron sharpens iron approach and say, Simon, you're not using what God has provided for you in the best way. And I don't think that any of us should be opposed to that level of Christian love in our lives. If we love each other, then we should care about each other. If we care about each other, then we should care about the financial and economic condition of each other. And so for me, that manifested in purchasing my first Bitcoin in September last year, right? So obviously I'm not a guy who can speak from a 2013 or a 2017 write-up. And to be honest with you, I probably would have bought and sold in those timeframes. I would not have had the conviction that I currently have to not only buy, but to hold on to and to wait for it to mature to a financial monetary network. So I think for me personally, Bitcoin has been a transformative experience this year as I have taken the good information that my father had given me and that brothers have shared with me for years and then applied it to my personal financial system and applied to the lives of my kids around me. So let me turn to the two of you. I'll start with you, David, and share just a little bit about your personal journey to Bitcoin.
Yeah, so I was a finance major, graduated in the 70s, and was taught one way of understanding the world, and that's how I understood it. I spent a number of years in commercial banking, and yes, I was successful in such things. And I never really took the time to think deeply about it. I understood the rules of the game. I played by those rules, and I prospered. And it really wasn't until many years after leaving banking and just through a series of events, and honestly, some of them just looking at the world around me and thinking, man, this is just really not working well, that I became a hard money guy. And that was my early orientation. So gold and silver, man. If you don't hold it, you don't own it, right? No, not your keys, not your coins. So yeah. And initially I resisted Bitcoin, funky digital internet money. I'm a boomer. I want to hold it in my hands. I want to touch it. I'm an analog guy, and I'm coming kicking and screaming out of the analog world. But I'm also proof that it can happen, because I am the least tech savvy guy you'll meet. But yeah, initially I mocked it, and Will, you were persistent with me and patient and just continued to show me that for the reasons I held commodity money were the reasons why I needed to seriously consider Bitcoin. You sent me some things to read, and I read, and I listened to podcasts, and we had many long conversations, and yeah, I threw all the what ifs out, but inevitably I came to that place to understand that Bitcoin is the embodiment of the principles of sound money that I do believe the scripture teaches. If I lived 100 years ago, there'd be no question. That it would be gold and silver, but we don't live 100 years, and I'm grateful for that too. In God's good providence, we live in the digital world, and Bitcoin is digital sound money.
Will, how about you?
My personal journey to Bitcoin, I would say, started in 2014 when I first became aware of it. It was kind of on my peripheral. It was a curiosity, I would say, at that point. I was vaguely aware that it was internet money. I didn't really understand much about it. I talked to my family about it, and the consensus was, well, it's not real. It's not backed by anything. It's not like the dollar. I then promptly forgot about it for a few more years. In 2017 is when I bought some of my first Bitcoin. It was around $2,000 at the time, and it was what I would say at the opinion stage. I thought it was a good idea. I didn't really fully understand it. And so I was mostly just trying to take advantage of something that seemed like it was going to go up in dollar terms. 2017, the bull market, it ran up to about $20,000. I was really excited. I thought, oh man, this is it. I've struck it rich. And then it promptly crashed. Because Bitcoin was an opinion, I didn't pursue it further. I didn't sell what I had, but I just kind of walked away, left it. I had it in cold storage, so I thought, well, I'll deal with this some other time. It wasn't really until the summer of 2020 when I began to think seriously about Bitcoin. I looked at what I had, and I was trying to decide, do I want to sell this? Am I going to keep it? Do I add to it? I had gold and silver still, and at that point, I was trying to figure out what is money. I was really kind of going through the process of trying to understand. I knew that gold and silver were money. I had held gold and silver for a few years at that point, but I didn't really understand from a first principles perspective. I couldn't articulate what Bitcoin was. And so I just decided, okay, if I'm going to own this, I need to do some research. I need to read about it. I need to really learn and understand. So I picked up Seyfedin's The Bitcoin Standard. I read it cover to cover in a period of a day or two, couldn't put it down, and I fell headlong down the rabbit hole. I absorbed every article and YouTube video and podcast that I could find, and I still do. It has become one of the most rewarding pursuits that I have undertaken, trying to just plumb the depths of this system and understand the ins and outs and the game theory incentives and all of what makes Bitcoin what it is. What has enabled it to survive in the face of central bankers who would love nothing more than to stop it. And it has now become a conviction. So I hold no other dollar-denominated assets. I don't have a retirement account. I cashed it out and bought Bitcoin. I don't have a savings account. I cashed it out and bought Bitcoin. every dollar every month that doesn't go directly to paying bills is saved in Bitcoin, not as a speculative, oh man, I'm going to get rich, but as a, this is where my store of value is. This is my unit of account. I want to price things in Bitcoin. I want to think in Bitcoin. I want to adopt Bitcoin as my personal reserve currency. And so now here I am, having had quite a few conversations with people and trying to help them understand Bitcoin and trying to continue to understand it deeper myself. And Simon had the idea of, hey, well, we've had plenty of these conversations. Let's have a podcast. Let's talk about some of these things. We seem to have some similar conversations with friends and acquaintances. Maybe we can record them and then that would be helpful for others as they are beginning their journey down the rabbit hole of what is money and what's Bitcoin. And specifically for Christians, how should believers be thinking about Bitcoin? So I'm stoked to be a part of this and really looking forward to see what God has for us in the coming episodes.
Yeah, thank you, Will. And as we bring this to a close today, I just wanted to share a little bit more with you all out there who can benefit from this. We are going to be recording future episodes and grouping them into what we would think of as kind of seasons. So just kind of organizing them around some key thoughts, like what is sound money? What are the biblical principles of sound money? And how do you allow your biblical worldview to transform your view of money and use it in the world. And so we look forward to interacting with you. We'll post some Twitter profiles in the show notes so you can interact with each one of us. If you have questions, suggestions, things that you would like to hear us talk about in future episodes, we'd love to hear them from you and to interact with you. And we would encourage you to share this with your friends, with your church family members, with your pastors, your elders, and those whom you believe would benefit. As we stated at the beginning, our goal is not simply to talk about Bitcoin. It's to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved each one of us from our sins and can save you as well. If you're not a believer, then we would love to hear from you as well. We would love for you to understand the truth about what Jesus Christ has done, who God is, and how he has created an opportunity for you to know him in right relationship. So you can pray for us. You can pray that we will be truthful and accurate and humble as we continue to work on these topics together. And we just thank you for listening and for your support of this particular podcast. And we look forward to hearing from you in a future episode.